With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients with seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Make mealtime easy with delicious recipes made with fresh, wholesome ingredients delivered to your door. No lines, no hassle. Just great tasting meals you can whip up and enjoy in the comfort of your home. The cost of groceries are going up and up. Now is the perfect time to get started with HelloFresh. HelloFresh is cheaper than grocery shopping, 25% less than takeout. The Tanksleys have a HelloFresh box that we are into this week. Mm. It's because we don't want to go to the grocery store. We don't want to think about what we're cooking for meals. We said, HelloFresh, do it, and they do it well, and they do it at an affordable price. We got a family of six, so that's like $1 million going to have takeout.
Every week.
We ain't got the $1 million.
Every week.
But HelloFresh said, don't worry, boo, we got you. So go to HelloFresh.com/TBTB60.
TBTB60.
And use code TBTB60.
TBTB60.
For 60% off plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/TBTB60.
TBTB60.
Use code TBTB60.
TBTB60.
For 60% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
I think this is the Jeff's.
He's not bald.
I'm not saying
you're
no.
You're not bald. That's the problem.
No, I know. That's why I don't belong
too much hair.
I don't belong
you
here.
You belong
way
here.
Too much hair.
I won't say no
hair.
More coupon
you
codes.
You're doing all of them. What's up, sorry, everybody, and welcome back to That Chick Angel TV. It's me, That Chick Angel. Mm-hmm. And welcome back to another installment of The Bald and the Beautiful. I am joined today by the gorgeous, the lovely Melissa Fredericks, a.k.a. Mrs. Kev on stage.
Hello.
I wasn't used to going first.
I know you're not. I know. You're also seeing on the camera my pretty, pretty, handsome, handsome, six and tall, tall husband, Marcus Sanksley, a.k.a. Tank.
What's happening?
And then we have the special guest.
Much to all of our surprise.
Yes, right. The adorable, the talented Joshua Gonzalez, aka Joshy Gons. Kevin is working on another project right now, so he is not with us. However, we still gonna give you this good old content. As a reminder, we'll be starting Grown and Gospel next week. It's already actually airing now, so go ahead and jump on into it. And you know, we're going to give you the tea and our opinions next week on Mrs. Kev on Stage YouTube channel next week. We also want to give a shout out to our other sponsors that we'll be telling you more about later on this episode. And they are Black Tux, Masterclass, Trail Mix Games, and Rockin' Mania. So, if you didn't already know, I don't have no voice because I've been a sick girl with a sinus infection. But we still going to do this. So, Josh. Mm-hmm. Josh was saying before we started, and this will be before we jump into these fun questions. This is his year of 30.
This is the year of 30.
And you learning some things. What have you learned that 30 is looking different like?
My mind is young, but my body is not.
Come on, somebody.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Tell the truth.
See, when I was in my early 20s, mm-hmm, I used to be like, oh, let me take a little 24-hour day trip. Go visit somebody. Now, golf's got me in a chokehold, so if there's golf attached, I got to play in the Meta
Facebook
Golf Club tournament.
Cool. Okay.
That was at, like, a professional golf course.
Nice.
Yesterday.
That's so rich.
And I was
of
like,
you.
I'm all in.
That's very
That's really cool.
Wasn't
you sound
cheap.
So wealthy. Yeah, I know.
Wasn't cheap.
The smaller the ball, the more expensive the sport. Mm. I learned this in
the
my sports
the ball,
class.
Really? The more expensive the sport. Yeah.
I took a sports class in college. That's what I was doing with my degree at the University of Washington.
Oh.
That's wow.
Mm-hmm. Smaller ball, the more expensive the sport.
And you said, let me go with the
I
smallest.
I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me find the smallest white ball possible.
Absolutely.
And it's been fun. I talk about that on Tasting with Tank, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
Coming out whenever that comes out. However.
Well, they start airing out Monday.
But he don't know where his is. That's what
I
said.
I shared a post. That's all I know I did. yesterday was Monday. That was my travel day.
So, go ahead.
So we just started touring, getting back on the road. And I was like, cool, this little day trip lines up for me to come back, go back out, and then come back. But then I think about it, and I leave again tomorrow. And that's just, it's too much. Because the actual day of the festivities, I was fine. Today, I feel like I had been drinking all day yesterday, but I had
no alcohol.
None of the drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, my body's just tired. But basically what happened Sunday, we landed Sunday morning. I went home, changed, quote unquote, refreshed, and left again Sunday night. And that wasn't a smart plan.
So what's the good part of turning 30? Actually, when you were at our house, we were kind of talking about.
I'm excited. My body is not, though. And I think that's why I feel is the biggest disconnect is because I'm used to not even living a certain way. But Liz was asking if I had been drunk in this recent year. And the answer was yes in February when I went to Arizona to this big golf tournament. I indulged in some spirits.
Uh-huh.
And the next day I was okay. I was tired. But the following day, it felt like a really hard workout where you get sore 2 days after.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like my hangover didn't hit until the second day after.
Well, I never had that. What were you drinking?
That was like a 72-hour decision that I made.
Right.
Oh.
But, I mean,
I never had that. Now, as I've gotten older, I've been hungover in the same day.
Oh, no.
Where it's like, oh, I drank, and then now I am. That happened to me on tour twice. I was like, why am I here now?
We were in crazy conditions, though.
Oh, terrible.
For that show. But
so, women, what about 30 has you excited?
I'm excited because I feel like I'm still mastering my craft, but I'm like way ahead of myself than I was when I was 22 trying to learn the craft that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I can do with the camera, what I'm able to put together production wise. Like if somebody asked me, like I could genuinely be caught. And I think that's part of it too, is confidence in what I'm capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to lean more into that. There's still a lot of creative insecurities that I have, but being able to kind of let stuff roll off or be more open to try stuff. I feel like I was doing that a lot the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot more comfortable putting myself out there creatively than I used to be.
Nice. Melissa, how
30s were a great time.
You're about to leave your 30s, even though you be acting like you left them already. Because Melissa will be like, as a 40-year-old,
yeah,
and
definitely
I'm like,
40.
When did that happen?
It happens in June, but it's already happened now.
So how would you define, if somebody said, define what your 30s were like?
Ooh.
How would you define your 30s?
Evolution.
Mm.
A lot of that?
It was a lot of evolution for me. I enjoyed my 30s immensely. We moved here in March of 10 years ago, 2013. And I turned 30 in that July.
Oh, so your 30s
my entire 30s were here.
L.A., okay.
Mm-hmm. So they started with new place, new Coke. Adventures. Oh. Not Coke yet. Oh,
she
Coke.
Said not, she said not Coke yet.
The idea of Miss Kev on Stage was literally, I mean, I already had the account, but like who that kind of entity is was born here. Evolution. Yeah. Everything that is happened in the last decade of my life.
How scary was having all that evolution happen in the last decade?
I was just talking to my mom about this actually in the car. I live my life in a way where I'm literally just living my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always very good about being strategic and putting like business behind it. So for me, a lot of this, the 40s are scarier.
Mm.
The 40s are scarier because now I'm more aware that I need to be more aware.
Oh.
And so the 30s were, there was less risk because I was Melissa Fredericks at the time trying to figure it out. And now it's Miss Kev on Stage. There's kind of a different pressure to figure it out.
It's like a sophomore album.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It really is. And that's what I think my 40s are. They're literally a sophomore album. That's a really great way of putting it. Well, with the success of like Thriller.
I was going to say.
Of my freshman album, the first album.
There's some really good sophomore albums though that, like for example, SZA's sophomore album. Phenomenal. People fear the sophomore album sometimes because of comparison.
Right.
Because of how other people's career has gone.
Yeah.
And I've actually never made this comparison to music and creativity, but I do feel like it is possible to still have a great sophomore album mentality, but it is equally terrifying because you still have to put said album together
yeah.
and out for the world to see and
listen. I think I have to unpsych myself out about my 40s. And so I've been going through, like, literally I was talking to my mom about that, like, on the way here. So, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, oh yeah, tell her. Miss Mary.
Miss Mary.
Miss Mary Marshall.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, slow down, because you're about to answer.
Ask the question.
How, define your 30s.
Why you trying to say it all fast, though?
Because
you, your 30s.
Because I know you, you would have kept eating. You get on my nerves. Oh, no. I'm joking.
So my 30s was, it was, like, leaving, because I moved out here, like, late 20s. So my 30s had two different seasons. It was one, still trying to figure things out in the early 30s to mid-30s.
It was your, those were your mid-20s that you moved out here.
Mm. I'd say late 20s. It's 26.
No, you weren't.
I was married at 26.
Yeah.
26 is mid, though.
25 is when he moved out here. That's how I'm like.
24 to 26. All right,
it's semantics, damn it.
I was just saying, so, I was just giving you more years of, in your 20s.
From my late 20s to my early 30s, I was kind of in that same realm of trying to still climb this ladder that I didn't even realize was a ladder that deserved my attention.
Mm.
And then, so once I hit mid-30s, so that was, yeah, early 30s, mid-30s, was me stepping into a confidence and finally being in a place where my experience mattered. People were recognizing that experience. And it was, so it was having confidence, but also stepping into a lot of stuff that I haven't, where my experience was good. However, stepping into other things that was evolved around that where I had absolutely no experience. So it was still like, I'm a fish out of water again. Like, this is weird. Like, I've been, quote unquote, the man for like 20 years. Like, what is this that I'm stepping into? However, this little aspect of it, not a little aspect, this 50% of it is like, I got this down packed. This is me. This is what I do. The other half of it is just like, now what? Mm. What's going on? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's where I was. And then also, like, with family-wise, it's like, all right, we at the time had three kids, you know, thinking about she was thinking about the fourth, I wasn't. And like, we was at that time, we was on our second house, so it was like a sort of a confidence building. Mm. And then now, at the age of 41, going into my 40s, it's like, so what you gonna throw at me? I ain't been through it. Whatever you throwing at me, I've been through it. Like, I've started over in careers multiple times. Like, so I'm stepping into this with all the where I'm at now and all the confidence in the world. Like, there's nothing that's going to intimidate me. Because it's like, I started off intimidated. I've been intimidated before. And then where did that get me? Nowhere. It's like, once I learned it, I look back at when I was intimidated. It's like, well, that was pointless. Could have just figured it out. And now it's just like, intimidation, that word ain't even in the box anymore.
Wow.
Okay. Well, not to get all parental, but it's time we had the talk. You know, the one about the three-letter word that ends in X. You'll probably experience a few times in your life. Well, not that one. I was talking about tux. And when you need a tux, the best place to go to is the Black Tux. The Black Tux makes it super easy to get an on-trend, top-quality, guaranteed-to-fit tux without ever leaving your house. Here's how it works. Take the Black Tux fit quiz, pick the style you want to rock, and boom, your tux is delivered to your door 10 days before the day you need it. It's plenty of time to try it on and make sure it wears well. And hey, if the fit's not quite right, say hello to the Black Tux Fit Guarantee. Order a better size within a day or two of receiving the less than great fitting one, and they'll send another one right away with no extra cost. And if you'd prefer an in-store experience, the Black Tux has showrooms across the country. Their expert fit specialists will help you find the perfect style tux or suit and make it fit just right. You all just used it, right?
We did. Kevin and I, for the NAACP, had the black tux. They delivered a suit for us. It was actually, no lie, really, really easy. You go on there, you put in like your measurements, you pick your style, you do all of these things. And when I tell you, before I could hit submit, it was at the door. Like, it was really, really quick delivery. You put in the day of your event, and then I guess it is their intent to get it there beforehand. So we got it before the NAACP. Kev tried it on, all of these things. We obviously, you know, it was just really great. That's what I want to say. It's fantastic, actually. It's a really great option if you don't have, like, tuxes, suits, or whatever in your closet already. This is a really great way to basically get what you need, go to your little event, and you can send it on bay.
You don't have to go anywhere.
You ain't got to go nowhere. It's convenient.
Which is good, because a lot of those tux shops that you can rent from are kind of not as much anymore.
Mm. But if you're a person that likes to go, I know they have a location here, I think, in Glendale. Well, rent or buy, the Black Tux is the best place to go when you need a tuxedo for a wedding or special night. Right now, when you go to theblacktux.com/TBTB, use code TBTB,
TBTB,
you'll save $20 off your order. That's TheBlackTux.com/TBTB,
TBTB,
code TBTB,
TBTB,
to save $20. TheBlackTux.com/TBTB,
TBTB,
code TBTB,
TBTB.
Okay, so my 30s.
Yeah, Andrew, let us know.
Yeah, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Where? In La Basura, they were terrible. I hated my 30s. While for you, Melissa, your 40s is your second album, my 30s were my second album, my sophomore album. Mm. My 20s was a debut, chart-stopping. It had at least 5, 6, 7 Billboard hits on it. And I just knew. I was like, these 30s about to suck, and they did. There were some blessings that came out of it. The twins and Amar showed up in my 30s, our second house, but so many things just were dookie. I was navigating, actually taking social media seriously, because when I started, when I was 29, it wasn't a career thing. Mm-hmm. There were bloggers. I hate to write. Mm-hmm. Who wants to do that? But there weren't people making money on YouTube, so I was uploading videos just into an abyss just to express myself. And then once I realized, oh, people are making money off of this, I was pissed off because I was like, I've been here, and no one told me. Then, you know, there was death that hit in some major ways with Marcus's dad and our best friend. And that was something we had never experienced, the death of a peer. That was really weird to experience. Yeah. It was just like, what is this? This is not actually. Huh?
I had.
Whom?
My first trip out here, my friend Adam, died in a car accident.
You right. I had never experienced the death of a peer. Then let me say it that way. So 30s grew me up. More, I was already mature, but it was like, you about to be sycamore tree type of mature with the way 30s were. And I don't know if my mindset if had anything to do with it. Like, had I been like, no, 30s will be great. Maybe that would have been a thing. That's why I'm shocked. That's how I felt about 40s. So to hear that you feel the like opposite about 40s. I was like, we were in the middle of the pandemic, and I was like, my 40s about to be fire. It did not matter that the world was coming to an end.
I remember you being 28 and 29 saying, I'm about to dread my 30s.
Yeah.
I think you spoke that into existence.
I just said, I don't know if it was my mindset.
You definitely did.
Shut up. Well, that's why my 40s is lit already, and I'm only 42 up in this bitch. But some of the stuff that you're talking about, Josh, as far as in physical, I didn't experience all of that. I didn't experience how physically things were different other than, like, weight until my 40s. That's the reason why I'm like, oh, well, no.
Oh, I'm cooked.
Let me talk to you real quick.
Oh, yeah, he did.
36, I think. My body said, man, sit down somewhere. My mind was still like, you can do it. They were in two different boardrooms. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, your mind stays younger a lot longer than your actual body. Now I think my mind, like, is older than my body now, because I'm just like, I ain't about to try that.
I think your mind knows to preserve its body.
It's like.
But you still stay young. We were at a track and field meet yesterday.
All day?
for 3 hours.
Track meets be long.
For 3 hours.
And 3 hours is a short meet.
They are long.
That was a real short. Usually it's from sun up till after sundown. Lights is on.
Oh. I was watching them girls run, and I was like, man. I wonder what it would be like to just go out there and try to pat.
Ride is what it would be like.
No, it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I'm watching. There was this one kid who was so slow. He got lapped in that 1600.
He got lapped in every race he did.
He did.
Lapped?
But he had the
1600.
Best.
You could get lapped in the 1600 a couple times.
No, he got lapped in the 800.
That's four,
he
right?
He also got lapped in 800. Yeah.
But he had the best spirit.
On that last straightaway,
people were clapping and he's.
He picked
smiling.
Up speed on that last straightaway.
That's what you got to do.
The first three of them.
Listen, if you don't do nothing else, you going to get some energy on that last 100. Oh. Finish strong.
And his parents.
Finish strong.
Finish strong.
I'll go ahead.
No, I was about to say his parents were so delighted. Oh, they were like, yeah.
You didn't give up.
Listen. And he wasn't last in the 1600. We thought he was.
Did. Oh, he wasn't. No.
Yeah, it was a
no,
dude.
No, it was another dude that is just.
And his hair was flowing.
He didn't break a sweat. I said, if I was his coach, I would be pissed.
Oh, no.
You ain't broke no sweat.
That reminds me.
On a 1600, he didn't break a sweat?
No.
He was gliding.
That reminds me of this. There's a great photo of my dad and I in the newspaper, but it's forever tainted and jaded in my heart because it was for like a city race. And apparently I was just walking the whole time. Like I was not, there was no competitive edge for me in understanding what that
just happened
meant
to be here.
Because the caption of the photo said like something really heartfelt between like a father and son.
Hysterical.
Like even though he finished last, he was still first in his father's eyes. I was like, yo, this is like an awful time. This is an awful time for a memory with a great photo. I'm going to pull it up.
Even though he finished last.
Yeah,
who wrote
that's
this?
So great.
They ran the 800.
Yep. Two laps.
This one boy came around on that last straightaway, and he broke out into a sprint like he was
that's
running.
That's what you
got to
do.
No, he should have did that on the on the second lap.
The person who is the last...
No,
they
he wasn't
break
last.
Up?
No, now he's talking about number
no,
two.
No, I'm talking about a different kid.
Oh, got it.
Like completely different. He had a good running in the race. I said, if you used 75% of that energy on that last lap, you could have possibly
won.
You definitely would have won. I mean, he took it. I said, why does he have so much left in the tank?
You got to stand up and be like, yeah, go.
We were clapping for them slow kids.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, all right now.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. That's the best part.
Come
on and kick.
Angel was asking me, I was like, yeah, that's because my coach put me in the 1600.
Yikes.
And I didn't even know it. And I still had long jump and triple jump to do. I cussed him out at the track meet after the race. Mm-hmm. I told Angel, I said, if that was me now, as soon as that first person crossed the line, I'm quitting. Like, you still got two more laps. Nah, I don't.
The race is over.
Yeah, race is over in my mind. I didn't even place.
I don't
What's
know
the
why
point?
That's
I'm
a
not
race.
Even sixth. No. I said, I tell them, whatever the time of the last person is, put me a minute after. Be good.
Not a minute after.
The last person.
Yeah,
Joshua.
That first person, yeah, I'm
these
done.
Chunky cheeks what? On your face.
At Joshua.
After
he Aubrey, please
yeah,
make sure
first
I
race.
Send you
And
this
even
picture.
Though he finished last, he was first in his father's. He was the winner in his father's.
Oh,
this is the most adorable picture I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's a great photo.
Oh.
Terrible caption.
Look at this loser kid. He's great.
And even though he finished last,
oh my
they
could
have left that
he
out.
Was the winner
even
in his father's
the
eyes.
That they were looking for that day.
The race is not given to the swift
Come
nor
on.
To the strong.
That was on our track shirt.
I want to just see one line down to see who wrote this so I can look them up and either A, see if they're on.
You know, cuss out Greg A. Cooper. He sent it to the who he sent it to the Mr. Caption
Snap
man.
Photo. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling up the VC star today. Oh.
This is adorable though. This is a freaking great picture.
It really is.
I can't.
That's why I said it's always, but it's jaded.
Oh, I heard
like,
you
it,
can
it's
do
a
this.
Jaded memory for me.
Oh, they did you dirty.
Yeah, they did.
They definitely did. They were like, y'all saw that little baby that did finish last? Here he is.
Because he was first in his father's eyes.
Oh, my God.
This
Awful.
Is the best.
God, it may have seemed like they were cleaning up the event by the time
you crossed. No, they were. They was actually
the lights were off outside.
Pick up your cane rails. Clean these cones up.
Little Marcus had to run. Little Marcus is a long distance runner. They have only had 1 week of track practice. His coach does not train them for long distance. And his coach doesn't really know what everybody can run well. So they just threw him into the 400. And I was like, No. My baby is heavy.
And 400 is considered a sprint.
That's what we, and I was like, well, you know it's a sprint. Yeah, so no. Best of luck to you,
seriously.
Son. I was like, best of luck. I don't know what else to tell you. And he's dense like me, so that's like, he's dragging an anvil with him.
Dude, he need to come up out of that long jump, too.
Because he going to fall
Marcus
quick.
Marcus can't get off the ground like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the he's dense. That boy is heavy.
Building bends are no joke, though.
Oh, I was thinking high jump. Well, I guess either.
Either. Right?
That's this.
Yeah.
No, that's
triple. Triple jump.
Yeah, that was like, this is that's triple.
No, that's scratch. That's
yeah,
scratch.
Yeah.
That baby, that 400. Oh, he came out of the, he came,
oh,
out,
he came out
fast.
Hot.
I'm talking about them legs had him gone.
But that, by the 200 mark?
Oh, yeah.
You saw the breaks. You saw
that's
the
best.
Draft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
He was getting walked down left and
yes.
right.
Oh. You do that, wait, the 400. Yeah, you do the straightaway, the curb. You come around doing that 300. You'd be like, eek. Yeah. This is over. I'm done.
I said, oh, baby. Oh. And then he had to do the 4x4.
And they had him doing the real stuff.
What's the 4x4?
It's relay.
Relay.
Everyone runs a lap.
Do one
time around.
It's a mile,
but it's a relay. Yeah.
Exactly. What position was he in?
Second leg. He should have been no leg.
Third.
But third. He should have been the slowest leg.
Is that the third?
Actually, it might be first, but maybe third.
No, the
depending on the strategy.
Yeah, depending on the strategy.
Commonly, the slowest leg is usually the third.
Because that's the leg I
was. Oh, we always made it the
like
first.
Fastest,
I was always the first on the 4x1 because I was slow.
just let me go ahead.
Just let me get it out the way.
No, their first leg was pretty good. Had them in second place. He handed that baton off to little Marcus, and he was like, I'll put us in fourth. Don't worry, guys.
Hold up. The kid that was doing all the pouting and whining, did you see him at the –
Of course I saw him. His mom was, okay, so this boy, and then we'll move on to the question. Sorry. There was a boy who was who ran the 800. He's a junior Olympian. He's very fast on Lil Marcus's team. He was done. He had already ran two long races. He told his coach, I'm not doing the 4x4.
Well, he was yelling at the coach.
He's like, I'm not doing it. And the coach was like, yes, you are. He was like, have Dimitri do it. He was like, no. His mom was like, if you don't shut up and turn around with that attitude, he's like, I'm not doing it.
He was like, hell no. Hell no, I'm not doing it. I was like,
he said, watch me run a 110 then. So apparently that's slow for
I
him.
I was about to say, that's what I read.
He's like, I'm going to do a 110 then. And I was like, no, well, okay. So the first guy goes, they're in second. Little Marcus goes, they go back to fourth. But Marcus keeps, he doesn't leave too much of
a
gap
between
him in third place. Then the next dude goes and keeps them in third but closes the gap more. Then this boy who was like, I'm not doing it. He was like Sonic the Hedgehog after it touched
the thing. It didn't even look real, like when he took off.
It was crazy. His mom was like, I'm going to run a 110. I said, he was not
He was never going to.
Yeah, he was
Hold
like.
Up. The part that I saw coming around that last turn, the kid in front of him sped up.
Tried to.
He didn't even go to the lane beside him. He went another lane over and passed him on the turn, which is, that's something that's extremely difficult
Hilarious.
To do. I'm talking about like he wasn't moving. I was like, what?
That little black boy gave up so quick. He was like, he tried to speed up. And then when the dude just kept walking by, he was just like, well, forget it. there's no point in me putting it. I was like, but in my mind, I'd be like, put me out there. I was sucked when I was good, when I was younger. I don't know why my mind thinks something's going to happen today. At 215
Angel,
pounds.
Little Jeff out there. She's going to be little Jeff out there.
Oh, Jeffrey. Shut up, mom.
I was like, good job, Angel. Shut up.
So let me tell you guys about, oh, yes, Masterclass. Oh, I just love Masterclass. It makes me feel so learned because you really are getting to speak to the master or learn from the masters of their craft. People who, it would probably cost you so much money to attend one of their conferences, to be mentored by them, unless you somebody's granddaughter or you know what I'm saying? Unless you got connections. Well, Masterclass removes all those barriers, and you will find that you are learning from some of the best people in their field. Some of the folk that they've had on Masterclass, I've told you about Shonda Rhimes. She's just... She's the creme de la creme. When you think about all the things she's written, Grey's Anatomy,
really
Bridgerton, and she's telling you about how to write, as I've mentioned before, and I'm not ashamed of it, Kris Jenner, she has a master class. whether you love her, like her, or don't, she has built an empire, and she's given you the keys to what she used in her strategy. So with Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, at your own pace. With over 2,500 classes from a large range of world-class instructors, that thing you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. There's a couple of classes that I have looked at on Masterclass because I am a forever student. That's why I have so many degrees. Well, I don't want to go into any more debt getting degrees, so I will be over here on Masterclass looking at classes. But some of the things that are in art and entertainment, which are the ones that I am more drawn to, there's screenwriting by Aaron Sorkin. There is filmmaking by Martin Scorsese. I don't even know why I need to name anybody else after that because, like,
he's good at directing.
Okay. And then Helen Mirren.
Ron Howard on there.
We watch Ron's and Sam's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam teaches acting. Helen Mirren teaches acting. And Ron Howard teaches
Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson.
What did I say?
No, y'all said Sam.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sam Yale Jackson. Uh huh. And Ron Howard teaches directing. These are, again, people that you wouldn't, it would be darn near impossible to have access to these people, much less their knowledge. And Masterclass brings them right in front of you. And you'll be blown away by the things they share. Because it's not necessary to sit down and consume a full class start to finish, sharing insights from individual lessons, you are able to learn in 10 minutes. It's so great. The fact that you're able to learn in bite size and you get so much. So I highly recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every class. And as a member of the Bald and the Beautiful listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. I'm going to start that again, Aubrey, because I realize I'm adding words where they don't belong. I highly recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every class. And as a Bald and the Beautiful listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. Go to masterclass.com/TBTB.
TBTB.
Now, that's masterclass.com/TBTB.
TBTB.
For 15% off Masterclass. Okay, but we ain't done. We're going to tell you also, I don't even need to look at the copy for this because I play this game every single day. It's by Trail Mix Games, and let me tell you, Love and Pies has a chokehold on me. Marcus will be like, what are you over there doing? It's literally like it's...
I know the noises now. I'm just like, she's at it again.
Listen, because my girl Amelia, okay, that's the character in there. Her mama's bakery got burnt down. She don't know if her mama did it, if some other suspects did it, okay?
Ooh, it's a mystery.
Yes.
I'm in.
And so she's up against this big tycoon company, right? And then her ex-boyfriend is now working for her. They have, like, this romance that they're not sure was, like, what's really real. Her daughter Kate and her dog, we named the dog. You get a dog and you get to name it. What did we name the dog, Marcus? You suggested it.
Yeah, Marcus, what's your name?
Felony.
Felony.
Her dog, Felony, is always.
I was like, it's always one of those two.
The storyline is so good, okay? But anyways, it's free to download. You know, mobile games are a fun way to pass time, especially when there's charming graphics and laid-back gameplay and a full story of scandalous secrets. Because I also think Uncle Sven, her uncle, got something to do with all this. And then the Purple Foxes, y'all just got to watch. Y'all got to play. For the perfectly cozy game, download Love and Pies by Trail Mix for free. It's a casual Merge 2 game where you build your own cafe, combine ingredients, and uncover a story of drama and romance. Play as Amelia as you take over the old family cafe and restore it to its former glory. Mine is really cute, but I'm going to go back and do some renovation. I realized that I could change some of my decor choices, and I'm going to go back and do that. Meet a diverse cast of characters as you uncover a full family story full of secrets and laughs. And it is diverse. They got people of color. They've got LGBTQ up in there. They got dogs. Amelia's daughter don't ever come out of her costume. That's got to be something. decorate your cafe in the surrounding areas with beautifully designed items. They create a safe, empowering space for players of all ages. And with each beautiful game that Trail Mix has created, they foster a culture of trust, respect, and creativity. For a tasty mix of love and drama, download Love and Pies for free today. That's Love and Pies, free to download in the App Store or Google Play. And Edwina, she get on my nerves. And that's it of that. Okay. All right. Joshua, we are now going to go into the question.
All right.
Yeah. Josh found out that he was on the episode like last week, but he forgot because I told him in my mind.
Not like
that. Josh, pick a question. We'll all answer it, though, but Josh will answer it first.
Do we all need to pick a question?
Mm-hmm. There's four.
This one's kind of tough. Can you describe your life in a six-word sentence?
Six-word sentence.
Oh, it was like one word. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Josh, your life is interesting, so I can't wait to hear the six words you put in this words. Sentence.
Mm. Angela, what?
Are they all adjectives or it's a whole sentence?
A sentence.
I just want to give you six adjectives.
Okay, that's fine. Give me six adjectives. Because that might be easier.
To change the question.
Listen, because I started doing it and I was like, that's not a sentence, though.
I think I like that idea of adjectives better, though.
What's your adjectives?
Well, I just thought about the pivot, so I just decided to let them brew completely. But
hold on.
Let me do some. You got your sentence?
Let me see. See, you're asking these difficult ass questions. Now people just sitting here watching us.
Unorganized.
Thing.
Okay.
Oh, we're doing okay.
I'm going to do adjective. Unorganized. Love-filled. Simple. Creative. Blessed. And, there's one more I need. And black.
Black.
Black. Life is hella black.
Okay.
Who got their six sentence, their word or their sentence?
Okay. I divided my life into sixes.
Okay. Love it.
So we're going to go with one through six. We're going to go with figuring it out.
Hello.
Yeah. Then we're going to go, Hawaii was a great time. I'm going to go with, great memories. Blessed. I like this word for those years of my life. I moved to Washington. We're going to go with turmoil, confusion. Mm-hmm. Actually, no. I need a word that's more like a sliding of the hand, cloak and dagger, smoke and mirrors.
Illusion.
Very much so.
Conspicuous.
Illusion is the word.
Okay.
No worries. Sorry. And then I'm going to go with exciting, new, fresh. Ooh. And then I'm going to go with the unknown child.
Well, gentlemen.
Living every moment to be amazing.
Oh, come on, sentence.
Yeah.
Is that what your life is right now?
It's good. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad I get to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. You should be.
Well, I am.
Ooh, blessed for the direction it's going.
Oh, hey,
we love it.
Don't try to one-up me.
He did. He about two
it.
Up
That's
you.
Why we don't have you out here, Josh.
I love it.
All right, baby.
What gets you excited about life? Success.
That's it? What success, define that.
It's a lot more behind that. Success is like just the...
It's like the front door.
That's what's spray painted on the dam. It's like a whole trillion gallons of water back there. So success meaning with like family, like the happiness of me and my family together spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
With, just make sure you're spiritually sound. And solid, that's like a success, like being in the word, being in the mind, being in the world. And literally succeeding in like things that we set out to do. Happiness is success to me. Mm-hmm. So when I say success, like all things good, that's a success.
Okay.
Overcoming adversities and obstacles and all of the trials and tribulations that come along with just
come
trying
on.
To live life.
Come on, church words.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's James 1, isn't it? Something like that.
Three. Is it really? Nah, I don't know, boy.
Oh, I really think it is.
He's like, Josh was like, no, I think I actually I really think it is. I think it is. Read it so we can answer it.
Yeah, question.
What gets you excited about life?
Oh, what gets you excited about life?
Possibilities get me excited.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say potential.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like, also, that's also what gets me down is when those don't fall through. I mean, somebody because
said ice cream.
I get now. Come on, that too.
The pistachio.
The possibilities be having me lit, and I will allow myself to fully, like, visualize the possibility. Fully allow all of the excitement. Like, I don't like be like, let me hold back just in case things don't work out. So when things don't work out, you talking about falling from a high height?
Yeah,
I'd be like, oh man. Mm-hmm.
That's me. I don't get excited till the finish line is crossed and we're in the car. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I used to more, but I don't want to say Hollywood. I just feel like career-wise in general will humble you and keep you, or if you let it, it'll keep you from getting too excited for something that's not already done.
Mm-hmm. We went, Kevin and I celebrated, it was a pre-celebration. For this meeting, because we just knew it was going to be what we knew it was going to be. Mm. The problem was, it was not what we thought it was going to be. Mm. It was just straight up a miscommunication. Low-key, it wasn't a miscommunication. It was the people use a word that they shouldn't have used.
Uh-huh, yep.
We ended up not being on the same page the way we had thought we was on the same page.
They were throwing around words and jargon.
Correct. Uh-huh. And so, I was like, this is the first time in a very long time that I allowed some Hollywood-ish to let me get very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't pan out. Never again.
Yeah. It's tough.
No, I let myself get excited like that one time and one time only. This was when I was still working 9 to 5. And I was, I don't know if I went on an interview. I don't remember what it was, but I remember talking to Angel. I talked to Angel's mom. You know, we done prayed about it. I was all excited, like, oh, this is mine. Went to the roof of one of the buildings up there by myself, shouting, like, clapping, just praising this new one. And it didn't happen. I said, why did I let myself do this? I said, never. Because that's not me, naturally me anyway. Like, you could tell me, Marcus. It's a 99% chance you about to get $3 million. I'll be like, we'll see.
It ain't close enough.
It ain't close enough till we done cross the finish line, Melissa. And I'm in the car all the way home.
And I've deposited. And you know the bank gonna put a 9-day hold on it. I'm gonna celebrate on day 10.
And it's tough when you live by like what's for me won't pass me, and you think what's for you is what's for you, but mm-hmm. then it passes you, and it's just like, but I thought that's what.
What's for you. It's the next thing coming.
No, I still be like, that was for me, and the devil got it. I'm like, nah.
Man.
I'd be like, no, the devil be out here putting in time, and he stole that, and I'm just gonna have to wait and figure out how I'm gonna get it back. But I feel like that's why my 30s were trash, because I had that mindset of not being able to allow myself to be happy about things. Mm. I had to go back to, girl, listen, you're resilient. If it don't turn out, you'll be all right. But I know y'all two are similar. The fact that we didn't get to celebrate your nomination took everything in me not to be like, Kevin, I'm one of the roles.
If it was, that's the other thing. If it's Kev, they're like literally, but I also feel like Kev deserves. Like there'd be real hard pressed to tell me that Kev don't deserve, because he'd be putting in the time and the work. It'd be different for me sometimes.
Put in the time and the work.
I'd be different. We don't have to do that. Go to the
next one. She said, she's like, we're not going to therapize.
Yeah.
Even though I'll be hearing her clickety clackety on this computer. Melissa be typing up something.
Cussing people out in the nicest way possible.
Nicest
way possible.
Just cuss them.
That's why I left out of here today. I said, ma'am, I've been extremely patient, but this is going to be the last time I call you.
He said, that's it. No more.
I need you to do what I need you. I need you to do it today.
You just give me a list of names and numbers and be like, here, I'm done with these people.
They want to still keep the name Fredericks. They'll be like, we just got
to
go by something.
Be connected to them. They can just know comfortably that those people got cussed out.
I'll be needing to cuss folks
out. They ain't even got to know why.
They'll figure it out.
I wanted to tell you this, too, about when you just said getting excited. There's one other story. We told this on Gin and Juice. I don't know if Kev has ever shared this with you guys or on this platform. So This is when we, months ago, still during the pandemic, Kev got this voice note from this random number, and it was.
Yes.
You guys know this.
Please okay. Don't. Tell the story again. You know anyway. This.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay, so he gets this voice note from this random number, and it is Madea. Mm. All this excitement. And so Kev is instantly like, why is Tyler Perry on my phone? How did he get my number? Like, what the heck is going on? And when I tell you, you could not, Jesus himself would be the only person that could have told me it wasn't Tyler Perry. I was so thoroughly, that voice was so good that, like, this was Tyler Perry. To the point where we were still kind of skeptical, but I was all in because he had just did this thing with David Mann. And I was like, David Mann knows Tyler. Of course, David told Tyler about you. Tyler looked up your work and was like, yo, I need to work with Kevin. Obviously, it only makes sense. Like, in what world does this not make sense? And what would give Tyler Perry greater joy than to call you randomly and send you a voice note on a random Thursday at 3:00 in the afternoon and be like, hey, Kevin, I want to work with you. Duh, of course it's Tyler. What do you mean?
The narrative's complete.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I feel all the gaps I filled in. Uh-huh. Okay, right. This totally made 100% sense in my mind. To the point where Kev is still like, no. So we call Mel. Mel and Greg, listen. Nah, that's Tyler. That's Tyler. Again, we go through the whole story. Yes, absolutely, 100%. I call my dad. My dad is like, I'm going to put a sign out that says my son-in-law works with Tyler Perry. I'm like, Daddy, you can't do that. No, I'm going to just let the people know. You can't do that. I don't know. But everyone's going to know. So everyone, my mom's convinced. My sisters are, everyone's convinced. Kev calls the number. But he's going back and forth. Sending voice notes to the guy, sorry. And he says, if it's really Tyler, Tyler would talk to me eventually in Tyler's voice. He's only given the Madea voice. This isn't Tyler. I'm like, yes, it is. Ask him if you can call. Kevin calls. It's a fan that he had given his number to long time ago.
It was a fan. That's the part I didn't remember.
I don't think he didn't complete that part of the story.
And what I mean by fan is when you do church events, what happens is you have like a driver and you have to give the driver your phone number.
Oh my God, today.
And so he had just had Kevin's phone number.
This makes the story a thousand times.
So he just thought, and so what he said was, I didn't think you still had the same number.
It makes this. This was 2020.
It was. I want to say it because it was still pandemic time.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, because I remember when he told the story, I was like, "Oh, this happened." No, like in this Washington. He was like the other. No.
This happened at the house we just moved from. I'm visualizing everything right now, like on the phone, calling everybody. Like, awesome. You couldn't tell me that we were not finna be working with Tyler Perry.
Oh.
Thoroughly convinced.
Oh no, that person deserves a flight to get
this story told.
Yeah, it was the best word.
Deserves to get punched in the face, not just cussed out. Oh, wait a minute, Melissa, did you answer the question? What gets you excited about life?
Oh, what gets me excited about life are things that have already happened that I can confirm.
She likes to look in the past. Oh, she's did like, you see
every
that?
Photo at the event that I've been to, I was excited then.
Well, this is like a more very extreme version of me.
Listen, the things that get me excited about are the things that are confirmed.
I can't even.
Right, because I get excited about possibilities.
Me too.
But I don't celebrate a possibility.
I can't even allow myself to get excited.
Oh, yeah. I'll celebrate. Yeah.
Angel will celebrate the smallest.
Because the thing is, you can't take that away from me.
Yes.
You can't take that part away from me. You can take away the actual thing, but you can't take away that celebratory moment. All that joy I had, it already happened. It already went to my sales.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that fall.
Oh, yeah, that
fall.
She done
built up a whole body of callus. I do. She falls hard.
Goddamn.
And everybody else, you know, they be like, Marks, ain't you excited? Look, y'all ain't got to be around her when she's dealing with the fall, okay? Mm-hmm. Y'all just there during the celebration. I got to be here, so I got to stay level. Because if I fall, look, it's going to be like me just going to my knees. I ain't going to fall off no cliff.
Fall with me.
No. I'm not going up there with you.
That's why I'd be like,
I'm going to be looking up at you. You be careful. Mm-hmm. All right, we ain't over there yet.
You got to come with me one good time. Nah,
I did come with you. I was by myself on the roof celebrating a goddamn job that I didn't get.
Me.
No. It ain't
not
happening.
With your stuff, with me.
It'd be too dangerous up there, man. You get up there, you listen, you be up there dreaming.
And that call hurts, man.
You don't understand how many houses I've bought off of jobs that end up being given to someone else.
Oh, my God.
The house buying process alone. Ooh, look at this house. Oh, look at this.
That's L.A., though. Or that's kind of, I don't know. That's inventory. Like, that's not everywhere, but unfortunately, that is, like, here.
Yeah. And I have to envision my family in the home if I'm going to buy it. I can't just be like, well.
No, I will acknowledge that it's nice. But I'd be damned if I celebrate something I ain't got the keys to.
I cannot. But so yes, in terms of like if something hinged upon it, I can't do it. Because once if I don't get it, now I'm pissed off. But if I go and look at like model homes, listen to me. Why would they do that? See, if I lived here.
Right.
I wouldn't color painted that way. Yeah. And this would be bigger. That, no problem. No problem.
Oh, yeah. I love it. One day you're going to come up here with me.
Those falls are, especially if tears fall with the fall, if you have like that emotional attachment to whatever the opportunity was.
Oh, yeah.
Those tears are different.
And you see the energy the angel be at. Imagine the fall. It ain't this polar opposite. It's just.
Cause it sucks.
But I get
that's why when people were talking, which I didn't see this. Kev told me this, that people were mad at Angela Bassett. Y'all gotta let that woman be human. Because the fact that she didn't knock a whole table, she should have did what I said I was gonna do with NAACP. That's how she should have acted. The fact that she kept her composure. Girl, you can't tell me she didn't know that was her moment.
None of them ever had that kind of disappointment.
I was about to say, most people don't have to lose in front of everyone.
Exactly.
Most people don't. Only sports athletes and then people who have award shows.
This industry will make any great person, good-hearted person, cynical.
Absolutely.
It's very hard not to be jaded.
I'm not losing gracefully.
If I were Jada, I wouldn't have either. We would have had another Will Smith moment. I would have slapped somebody.
Listen, I just lost on set here recently, last week. Not like to the extent of, obviously, Angela, but it was still an L that I took. That wasn't my fault. It was.
That's how, 9 times out of 10, it don't even be your fault.
It was production.
This last week?
It was production, and I had to take that L to the face. Gracefully, I was just like, well, I'm here.
You're talking about ruining my reputation.
I was like, I'm here.
Every single last one of y'all.
And they were so apologetic. They were just like, and I was just like.
Take your apology.
I was like,
you don't have to be here when the fall happens.
Right, I was just like, I was like, whatever you need, I'm right here. And I was like venting to my agent. I was like, this boom! But I was having to be like, most people don't have to, they don't have to find a way to quickly compartmentalize that they can handle the moment that is continuing to happen. So it's a skill. And listen, I'm skilled.
Me and Angel, the first house we was in, no, the second house, we got on this this show that never aired. Basically, it's they give you designers. And you remodel your home. So they took us to the house of the, you remember the first, was it the first or the second one? Lethal Weapon, where he hooks up his truck to the house that's on stilts and yanks it off the hill. Might be a little too young.
I didn't watch it, but I'm following.
Anyway, we went to this actual house.
I know the movie. I heard it's a good movie.
We went to this actual house with that house that they simulated falling. And it's decorated like the 70s. So we had to come up with things.
What is it called? Contemporary modern.
Contemporary modern. Look
acrylic
like,
furniture, weird.
Yeah, just weird looking stuff.
What you call it? A wallpaper, things that
Most of it
like.
Was ugly, in our opinion.
Exposed rock. It's built into the side of the mountain. So like a part of the house is outside and you're dealing with the actual elements.
They got stuff that's illegal now. They had like lava rock that you can't even get now.
For the fireplace.
For the fireplace and outside of the house. So anyway, so we had to pick up, you know, different themes and then have our house decorated and redone to this way. The people that were going against, they picked, what's that green called? Like seafoam or teal green?
Yeah, it was like it was like mint.
Yeah, mint green. They painted the walls and the ceiling.
Green?
That mint green.
Mm-hmm. Real light.
Mm-hmm. It was
like
it was
a nursery
hideous.
Color?
Yeah.
From the 70s.
And then they picked.
Yes.
And then they picked this horrible little like uncomfortable couch and something else. Our house, we got furniture. They done took out beams and expanded the room.
Marcus, you're like, here's the blueprint for the floor plan.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a world of difference. Even the people working on the show, like the directors, was like,
that's where this fireplace is. I mean, this wallpaper is from. It's from that
show.
They
were just like, there's no way you all didn't win. Like, it looks so much better. And this is before we saw there. So when they announced it, I was like, it was like, and the winner is, they said them. I said, what?
They announced the other couple.
Cameras is on me. I'm mic'd up. I said, what?
Yeah. I remember saying, they were like, well, they did more mid-century modern. I said, mid-century modern is like 50s and 60s. That was not a good time for black people. Why would I want that in my house? Mm-hmm. They were like, I was like, why would I want that in my house? That's just stupid.
And then I called out the lady, the judge, because the judges are not supposed to give advice to the designers, the interior designers. And I was like, I said, you said you weren't allowed to give advice, but you just said on camera that you helped them. She said, she was like, no, I didn't. I said, you just said, didn't I tell you not to go with that wallpaper? Mm. We sat here and saw you. So where's the disqualification there? And they were just like, I didn't.
I said, yes, you did. They were like, we won't be airing this episode.
Because they messed up.
The show.
The show is out, but they didn't use us, praise God, because they were trying to make me the villain. And because they were like, if you could record yourself saying this and send it to us, I said, but I didn't say that. So I will not. I was like, I know what y'all trying to do. Figure it out a different way, but I'm not about to be y'all's villain today.
They definitely didn't air our episode. Oh, go ahead.
Well, though, listen, you guys, you know what is the villain? Subscriptions you don't want.
Sure enough. Mm-hmm.
That you went and you were like, oh, try for 30 days for free. And then you forget about it until 3 years later.
It's raggedy.
It's so raggedy. Before you know it, you're paying for a subscription you don't use every single month. With Rocket Money, you can change that in a few taps. Do you know how much your subscriptions cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when the actual number is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. The average person has around 12 paid subscriptions. Think about that. I know we have more than that.
I was about to say, I know I got more than that.
12. Yeah, if I were to even just look at like the Apple, I have.
That bill is disgusting.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. If you think you're only subscribed to a handful of services, you might want to double check. With Rocket Money, you can quickly identify and cancel all of your unwanted subscriptions. Now, Rocket Money was formerly known as Truebill. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like streaming services you bought to watch one show, and that free trial you never even use. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscription for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. There was a couple of subscriptions Rocket Money reminded me that I had. One was a legal thing that because I needed to figure out how to do NDA, and they were like, you need to do this every month, don't you? No, I don't. Man. I needed it that one time. Take it away. Rocket Money was like, we got you. Don't worry about it. Click that cancel, and now they ain't in my pocket no more. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions. And manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/bald.
Bald.
That's rocketmoney.com/bald.
Bald.
rocketmoney.com/bald.
I'm up.
Yes, yeah, ma'am.
It was something else we called a lady out on that she did.
Oh, she was terrible. Because
the other designer was like her best friend.
Oh, yeah, the one who won was her best friend. And that's what our designer told her. Our designer told us. They're best friends. He's pulling furniture from her warehouse. I was like, well,
they needed to not air y'all episode because they could have gotten in trouble.
Yeah, we got to keep all that. They laid
$40,000
really
worth of interior design.
Oh, I thought there was like a bonus of $40,000.
Oh, that's nice.
No, we would have gotten $10,000 if we would have won. So yeah. I was like, we won anyway.
No, we definitely won. Because what they did to our living room was like.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. She went well over budget. Our designer did. I was
that liquor cabinet I have came from them.
The couch,
the chandelier, all of that.
Them blue chairs.
ones that are now blue.
Yeah, y'all actually won.
We came up with a league. Okay, go ahead, Liz.
Are you more worried about doing things right or doing the right things? Yes.
I knew she was going to say. Why did I know you were going to say yes? I knew it. I was like, Melissa's going to say yes.
Yeah, my answer is definitely yes. My perfectionism with good girl syndrome combined
yes.
makes this answer yes for me.
What about you, Josh?
Man, that's a tough differentiation between the two for me, because doing the right things, like, overall... Is that what it's entailing?
Yeah, like being, doing the right things and just in life, like, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like that dips into my people-pleasing side that I'm working out of. But I would say do the right thing for me. I would kind of like twist that question a little bit, and then I might want to lean more towards that side.
Mm-hmm.
Or doing the right things. I mean.
Doing things right or doing the right thing?
I think if I'm reading this, doing things right. That's where I'd like to be more of. Yes.
That's where you want to be. Because what does it say?
I'm talking potential.
Are you more?
My life.
Oh no. Which one worries you more?
So oh,
no,
worries.
Would be the other one.
Oh, worries okay. you more.
See. Which one worries
yes.
me more?
Yeah. If you're saying people pleaser, then it's doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely worries me more.
What about you?
Worries me more. I would have to say doing things right. I don't give a damn about doing
say,
the right things.
I was about to say, if you say doing the right things, I'll be like, when? When?
I don't give a damn.
When, Amar? When? Mine is definitely doing the right things. Mm-hmm. I used to have a thing with perfectionism. That's why this is not my best handwriting, but if you were to see my handwriting, like when I want, like I am like textbook. But that feeds into the doing the right thing.
You always write in cursive?
No, I write in print, and my print is way prettier than my cursive.
I think that's what threw me off, because I don't know the last time I read like something complete in cursive.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about it.
It depends on how much I have to write.
Got it.
I'll
keep the pen on
then.
That paper.
Mm-hmm.
I used to practice my handwriting too.
Actually, seems like most women like to write.
I used to practice my handwriting too. I used to want it to
look a certain way.
Look a certain way. I can't do it now because I have arthritis in my hand that's undiagnosed. But
I get it. No, I completely get it. No, I definitely made my handwriting what it is. I don't know what my natural handwriting would be because I was like, this is what I want it to look like, and that is why it looks like it.
If you ain't got to try to do it, then that's your handwriting.
Well, because I practice it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if I hadn't practiced it looking
it looked like mine.
The chicken scratch?
My handwriting looked like somebody just dropped a pencil on, a bunch of pencils on, just threw them.
Marcus has sound effects for his handwriting that bring me.
Breaks a pencil.
Yeah, pencil, bro.
That's with the dry eraser. Shit.
We used to do when we was especially like signing a house mortgage, you know, the loan papers.
Because it's like 50 million
yes,
documents.
And every time I'd be like, that's what I make the sound effect for.
Or signing your kids up for school, registering at the beginning of the year.
Stamp
he don't even do
signature.
It. I do all the signing the kids up for school.
I need a stamp. I can't do it anymore. By it about hurts. Page three. My hand starts cramping. I can't do it anymore.
Every time, like before we got this house, I was like, I'm going to order me a stamp with my signature, and I forget.
No, you better not do it. Somebody been and stole that stamp. Be running off.
That's what they're going to find. They're going to, you got a stamp over at his address. Let's go over and find it.
Somebody find my iPad. I got my signature up in there.
Oh, Lord. Your iPad missing?
No, I said if somebody find it. Oh. I mean, if I lost it.
Oh, yeah. So mine is in my phone. I'm like, are these
how you put in your phone?
Oh, I'll show you. Yeah, it's okay, so in there. It's probably already in there.
Too many things are electronic signature now, which ain't nobody's actual signature.
Listen.
Mine is two lines.
CPA said, this has to be a wet signature. I said, no, I don't.
No.
Put on my iPad.
Spit on it after
and
you get
I sent it. I said, how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference? You're going to print this.
Right.
You're not going to, this is my signature.
If they ever make me sign at the store, I just, with my left hand, because usually I'm putting my wallet away with my right, I just go, there's no verification for that.
I realize as long as you do two separate lines, it's going to take it.
That's stupid.
I tried one line and it's like, it didn't
not a
take.
Dash, Marcus.
Did you used to practice your signature?
Yeah.
Used to.
Yeah, he has a definite signature, and you can only read the letter of his first name and the first letter of his last name.
See this cursive writing? Picture Angel's name written in this. That's her signature.
That's it. You know who has the best? Who has the best signature? I just did it. Have you seen Barack Obama's?
Mm-hmm.
It's perfection. Yeah,
that's a good one.
It's so good.
I don't have the perfect. I don't autograph stuff enough to have a autograph type of signature. Mm-hmm. If that day comes, then I'm going to practice.
Kev has one. He practices. It's good.
They had, I think, two J's. First, I can't remember who it was, but it was like the really big J, and then
that's a good one. Oh,
that's a good one. Big J, couple squiggles, and an H, little space. Big G, couple squiggles, little Z, little L, and then I'd come back across.
Yeah. You have good letters for signature.
I mean, that's why I think I leaned a little bit more into it because I saw
A that. Is a good letter, though.
Oh, yeah. No, the A is always fire.
My A is fire.
You don't do a capital A. You do a big lowercase A.
Ooh, you can do a sometimes. Swivel, come back up, and then
that's
put a line through.
For this
the
here. The star.
Mine goes
of the
up,
A that's like a star.
Comes down.
That's
aggressive.
Like a big
that's
O.
That second.
Yeah, there's a lot of lines in an M, though.
But
M
is stupid. I also like to do a halo because I'm corny.
Over the angel?
Like, man, you know
my
who
M,
this
my
is.
M be aggressive and my A be aggressive.
I hate
the
my M.
The A and the T. Just.
Who? Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. We should have started with this one because this is a vulnerability right here.
We love it.
Love it.
Who do you find yourself comparing yourself to?
Ooh.
That is not yourself, not your former self, not your future self, because I know that's what y'all be wondering.
Ooh, okay, so who do I find myself comparing? Who do I find myself comparing? And it's a real person?
Yeah.
Not the Megatron version of people?
For me, it depends on what it is that I'm doing.
Give us.
What's something that I do?
Just answer the question.
No, I'm just saying, I can't think of who I would compare myself, who I compare myself to. Like, if I'm posting something, like content that I want to get, you know, attention, I will compare myself to people that I know that are doing well, not one person specifically. But I don't think, who I compare, do you know?
No.
I
don't know who you compare yourself to.
I don't. This is what I'm saying.
I usually, when I do comparisons, I'm doing it as a, like a goal marker of like, oh, I'm watching what this person did. I either want to do something similar. Mm. It's usually in an aspirational way is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that I compare myself as a way to like talk badly about myself, but it'll be like, oh.
Yeah, like the numbers I said, I chase y'all.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Where I do compare myself terribly is when it comes to like organization and home decor. That is when I'll be like, look at that. Look at how pretty that is. Like, the way you set up, the way Melissa sets up her house, I'm like, that is just gorgeous.
You got the bins.
Huh?
You got the bins.
What's the bins?
I don't know what that means.
The bins.
The bins for, uh-huh. Now, see, no, Melissa's would look way nicer.
We actually didn't get the bins. We ended up going with the Infinity because the bins was too small.
Oh, the car!
That's what I was talking about, thinking about.
I was so confused. I was
I said,
the
no,
bins.
We didn't get the bins she got. We looked at the same actual bins, but it was too small.
The container storage units of plastic that are rectangular shaped in a bin form.
Chad, I thought you actually meant a
bins,
storage.
Bins.
That's what he meant, a storage bin.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Melissa.
What is happening?
That's what Josh meant.
That's what I was saying.
No,
I heard
I said bins.
So did I.
But I see he said bins.
I thought.
I said bins.
When he said bins, I thought about what happens.
I'm just saying the same word.
You so stupid. Oh, yeah. I was like, why are you doing this? I thought about when you come up from the water too fast.
Initially, that's what I thought. And then I was like, oh, no. Then I said, no, Melissa got the Benz.
50 shades of misinterpretation.
Yes. I was like, the Benz. I don't even know if you noticed. I grabbed my pooch like.
Did I?
The Benz.
Shad.
Did I go snorkeling?
That was fantastic.
I was like, I don't know.
English is the dumbest language.
But I'm going to tell you, my confusion. And then when you said car, I was like, oh, I'm following. Okay. Then you said no. And I was like, well, now I don't know what we're talking about.
You're like, this fits in here.
I got it.
It's nice.
An actual storage container.
B-E-N-D-S and then the bins of water.
B-I-N-S is what he was saying.
That's what he was saying.
Oh, B-I-N-S.
You were doing bins like bend over.
Hilarious.
No, I said B-E-N-Z.
Oh.
The car.
Yeah. And then the bins where you get the water.
Chad, you can have a headache. We took you on a ride.
Anyway, I was joking. First, I thought he meant car. Then I was like, no, we looked at that one, but we didn't get it.
That's why we're talking about storage and organization.
That's why I was like, oh, car.
But first, I was here with the water bins.
Why were you talking about
like,
cars, Marcus? You're like, oh, we're talking about
I
cars.
I stay on cars, Josh.
I thought you were making an analogy.
You know what I really want is a 67 Pontiac, because like, nobody's talking about a four-wheel car.
That was fantastic. That was
confusion.
Just freaking great.
That was confusing at its best. Who do you find yourself to?
Leave it to Josh to mess up the episode.
No,
again.
Don't you pick it
up,
Josh.
Oh, that was fantastic.
You went straight to yes, me.
We all did.
It's because you started it. They're like, oh, he must be talking about cars.
I didn't say
that's
when
you went past your car passion.
When
Mark,
you went back, I was like, I have no idea what we're talking
aquatic
about.
Beans.
We were talking about organization.
And she still didn't.
I just heard him wrong.
Containers, Josh.
No, oh, hush. Now, woo, Melissa.
Oh, my God. That was. I had a great time.
I'm out.
Okay. So, if we're talking about, Ray, okay. If we're talking about, like, things that I want to do, it would be, this is where it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because I compare myself to, like, the best. So it's like,
and there's no in between.
Yeah, but it's dangerous because it's like, ooh, girl, there's so many steps. Mm-hmm. It's so many steps to get there.
I
want to
hear your best.
So you know, you guys know how I feel about like Brené Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Just adore her as like a speaker and like her research. Like in my mind, she is like who I would be connected with. Like it would be like a. This is why I said, is it a Megatron? Because it would be like. Oprah Winfrey meets Brené Brown meets there's this girl, but I think we canceled her. But like what she was doing before she was canceled, I was low-key like, girl, like you're kind of like on the path of things I want to do. She wrote that book, Girl Shut Up, Girl Stop Talking.
I don't know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Don't shut up.
It's called Girl, why are you still doing that?
Well, let me see if the people in the comments can help us get you to where you're trying to be, because we ain't going to be no help, the three of us.
She like, does conferences.
Rachel Hollis.
There we go.
Rachel
Thank Hollis. You very much. Okay. So the Megatron version of me is Oprah, Brené Brown, Rachel Hollis.
Okay. Ah. Is any of these people funny?
To me, Brené is.
Okay.
To me, Brené
like
is.
Witty funny?
She's witty. Mm. I actually find her to be really, I think as a speaker, it's part of the reason why anytime I'm on a stage, I find a way to be funny. Mm. Because I feel like that's like one of my favorite parts about being on a stage is being able to like teach and have people have a good time by laughing and stuff. So I try to like always bring those two, like merge those two worlds together. So it would be...
I feel like that humanizes a lesson, too.
It does.
Instead of just making it, like,
teach.
But, like, not talking down. I don't know which word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But.
It doesn't feel like a professor's up there.
Yeah.
This is what you need to do to live a life. Mm-hmm. And it's, like.
It would be the Rachel Hollis is because she had the merch. She had the book. She had the podcast. She had the conferences. Like that part of her business, I was like, "Ma'am, do the things." Yes,
and many hats.
And she does it all. Then Brené Brown, of course, is just like the research. She's just really well versed in the world of like vulnerability and shame and like even how she speaks and her presence on stage, just all of those things are like super inspiring to me. And then Oprah, because like she is it.
And she's the defining. Yeah. She's a great interviewer. She knows how to really tap into her curiosity about the person she's talking to. So the you can tell she's actually invested in the in getting the answer.
Yes. Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be like, those are my
things. Yeah. I wouldn't know why you wouldn't. I mean, I think everybody should be looking at who's the best. Like, I'd be thinking Regina King.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where you at? That's mm-hmm. what I want to do. I definitely am not thinking about the chick that I'm in auditions with, even though I'll be like, you're good at the stuff right. I've seen you. But we both are looking towards the star correct. Of, you know, those yeah. folk. Yeah. What about you, Joshua?
I think there's two. Personally, I feel like as a, like, character trait-wise, I resemble my dad a lot. He's always helping. He's always, like, making sure you're good. Like, that's, I mean, at least that's the relationship that I've had with him and I see with him and other people around that are close to him, not everybody. But I would say, like, creatively, from, like, a photographer perspective, either I'll give two names, Greg Noir
fantastic.
And Ravy B.
Okay. Fantastic.
I think what they're able to do inside and outside of a studio mm-hmm. is something that you can't teach mm. because what they're able to grab in a live perspective, like, Ravy right now is doing Adele's residency.
Okay.
But, like, what they're both able to do is, like, something that I always tried to resemble in my work, which is, like, live portraiture. When they're performing, it's mm-hmm. always, like, using everything on the stage or, like, a portion of the background or whatever they're setting up to try and, like, encompass, like, a live portrait session that, like, a lot of people not necessarily can't see, but they don't look for that. You know, sometimes they'll just grab a photo and the photo's cool because of who's in the photo mm-hmm. versus try and make it like some kind of artistic paintbrush on it that they see, like if there's a background image or some of the visuals, whatever. But also like how they're able to, and I don't know if it's, I mean, they're very talented too, but and I like how they're able to shoot events and like do the Grammy photos, like the portraits that you see people come out of.
Mm-hmm.
Ravy did, I don't know about everybody's, I don't know every photographer that was there, but she had like the setup there that made it like an award show portrait session. So mm. like she had like a backdrop with like a lighting tech and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like she had a photo shoot, but she brought that experience there. That way when they get the Grammy and fresh off that stage of excitement,
mm-hmm.
they can get like a professional like
that's fire
photo type.
I see. So
I would
that
say, like,
you,
probably those two.
It's fantastic.
I see that for you. Okay, we're going to do quick rapid fire questions before we end. These are from the audience, these are from the viewers. And you only have like a couple of seconds to answer. So I'll give you like 10 seconds to give me the full answer. Josh, this question is from Erica Alexander. Are you planning on doing your own podcast soon?
You know what? I've thought and tried, but I don't think so, because I love being able to provide takes and stuff, but I also know what it takes to lead a podcast and produce a podcast. Not that I can't do it. I just don't know if I want to choose to do it on top of my current workload and things that I actively do and am trying to do more of. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to the idea, but I would want it to be something that I don't have to focus on having to produce every single week.
Because I love your answer.
I don't know if I have that energy or capacity to do so.
Okay.
Love your answer.
Melissa, your question from Kaylin Sheree. What is your favorite self-care or relaxation method?
Probably some sort of treating myself to like a spa, like an actual spa. Mm-hmm. Going to I can't think of the name of the Burke Williams and like actually doing like the full
yeah.
and the stone and the bat. Just give me the full works. Yeah. That's fantastical. That's
Marquita right there. Four seasons. Punch card. Marcus, your question also from Kaylin Sheree. What's your favorite thing about being in a relationship?
First thing about being in a relationship, I'm assuming they're saying romantic relationship. Could be business.
I would lean
to consistency.
Amen.
Yay. Yeah.
It's 10 seconds.
That was a great answer.
Yeah, that might have been 8.5. That was good.
That was pretty
you said
good.
Make it quick.
No, you did, and I appreciate I'm proud of you.
Marcus?
Shut up, Josh. I don't like you.
All right.
You got your Hot Wheels Pontiac.
There's that one for you?
No.
What do you mean?
There was 3 questions, and I handed them off. Anyways, I ain't got no voice. We good. We Gucci.
I'm with it.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Bald and Beautiful. Catch us next week on Mrs. Kev on Stage channel. Until then, we'll see you later.
Bye. Have a good one, fam.